You know, if we're stuck in addiction or we're a loved one stuck in addiction, you think that you have to have all the answers and you have to figure everything out. But ultimately, what I learned after trying to figure everything out about a world I knew nothing about was just all I had to do was just trust Jesus when he said, "Take, you know, I'm going to take you by the hand. I'm going to lead the way. Just follow me. Take me at my word."
Welcome to the Significant Women Podcast with Carol McLeod. I'm thrilled you decided to join us today. We meet once a week to talk about the life stories of women who are living wholeheartedly at full throttle for Jesus Christ in spite of their pain, disappointment, or discouragement. Today, I'm going to be talking with a woman by the name of Noelle Borgia, and you're going to love her story. Her story is a reminder to all of us. It's a unique reminder to all of us that we're called to stand in faith, in strong faith, when we're believing for someone else's breakthrough. Are you standing in faith for someone today? Maybe your spouse or a child or a sibling. You're just standing in strong faith that they would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Noelle's story is going to encourage you in that respect. She's a passionate woman of prayer. She's a mother and an intercessor who knows what it means to contend, to wrestle, to fight for a loved one who's caught in addiction. But what makes her story truly significant is Noelle's unwavering belief that God's promises are true. And Noelle understands who she is in Jesus Christ. So if you've ever found yourself praying for someone that you love, if you're wondering that God is hearing you, this conversation is for you. Noelle's story is for you. So lean in and listen, and let's dive into this conversation with Noelle Borgia. Well, I'm here with a brand new friend today, Noelle Borgia. I hope I said your last name right.
Yes, Noelle, you did. Like, Noelle Borgia. Okay, yes.
Good. And honestly, we can't wait to get to know each other better. And I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad that my friends, my listeners are eavesdropping on our conversation today, all the things. I just wish that Noelle and I were sitting across the table having coffee together, because it's going to be that kind of conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the things that I read about you is that you are a gifted musician. So if you were sitting at my grand piano downstairs today, what song would you sing to me? What song break out into?
You know, that's quite the question, because I have such an eclectic collection of music. I mean, I love everything. I was trained classically since the age of 5 years old. My mom gave me a little organ when I was 2 years old, and she began writing out little songs for me. So that's how it started. I always played classically. I always played for offertory solos as a child and funerals. And I've continued that on to teach piano students for about 25 years. But my specialty, it's a little crazy, is actually Italian music.
Really?
So I have a degree in Italian. We are Italian. I'm a little loud. But I do sing and play in Italian. And then, of course, all the beautiful worship music. And actually, I'm singing God Bless the USA on Sunday at church, so with the worship team.
I love that. So what's your favorite hymn? Do you have a favorite hymn of the faith?
Oh, I love How Great Thou Art. My dad's favorite is always Mansion Over the Hilltop. So he always has me playing some of the old gospel ones. Holy, yes. Holy, Holy. I mean, there's just too many to mention. Precious Lord, take my hand.
Yeah. Do you know the hymn, But Until Then?
No, I don't think I know that one.
Oh, Noelle, look it up. Listen to it.
Until then, listen to
the rendition by Whitney Phipps. Okay, this is a gift to everybody who's listening today.
Okay.
It's going to go straight to your heart.
Wow.
Okay. Whitney Phipps is the rendition I like the most.
He's
a gifted singer, and the name of the song is But Until Then. And
you're gonna
email me, Noelle, and say, Carol, thank you for telling me about that song.
Yes,
it's a great song.
I love all the old music. Well, I love all the new stuff too. You know, right now my favorites are probably Holy Forever, Goodness of God, you know, all of those beautiful. Yes. And I have a little Bible study. So we always start with worship and I try to introduce the ladies to some of the newer ones and the older ones.
I love it. You just named two of my favorite current worship songs right now. Goodness of God and Holy Forever. Oh my goodness.
I just love that song. I love it. A thousand generations, you know, falling down in worship. It's just, every time I sing that, I just feel the Holy Spirit, you know?
I know. It's it's incredible what we can do when we choose to worship in spite of our circumstances.
Absolutely.
When we choose to lift our hands. And I know I'll often say, listen, if you're crying while you worship, it's okay. Let the tears fall. You know, if your heart is breaking, but worship anyway.
Yeah, and that's always been my go-to, like throughout every situation. I always feel like, thank you, Lord, for blessing me with this gift so I can bless others. But in my saddest, darkest seasons, I mean, it would be the middle of the night and I'd just get up and just feel led to just to worship, you know? And I really feel like that attitude of worship has just shape the trajectory of our life. You know, if you're in the darkest pit, no matter where you are, just getting in that posture of worship, I mean, it can just change everything. It can just lift that from you.
Amen. Amen. What a great word. Well, you're married, Noelle, with two children. But I sometimes like to ask this question.
Yeah.
Tell me your love story. How did you meet your husband? How did you know he was the one? All the things.
Well. It's quite the crazy story, you know, and for all you ladies who are listening out there who, you know, maybe don't have a relationship or a spouse right now, let me just tell you, the Lord might send him to your door one day, because that's exactly what happened to me. I was actually divorced. I had two young children and I won't really get into that out of respect for my ex-husband, but, I had moved into a condo and it was the middle of January and a huge blizzard had set in. My girls and I had gone to church and everybody was kind of snowbound. It was just, you know, not the kind of weather that you would want to go out in. And all of a sudden we heard the doorbell ring and we're thinking, who could possibly be at our door? And unbeknownst to us, this fine young gentleman had come to our door and he had cooked up a bunch of food and was going to invite some neighbors over for a Lions playoff game because all of his guests had canceled due to the weather. So we thought, well, you know, maybe there'll be a few other neighbors there. We can meet them. But when we got there, we were the only people to accept the invite. So that's how I met my husband. And we began the beginnings of a beautiful relationship together. And fast forward 10 months, we were married.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. When you fell hard. I love that.
Yeah.
So were you a believer? Oh, yeah, because you said you went to church that day. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. And
I was a believer my whole life. So some very, you know, prominent women in my life were my grandparents. My dad's father came from Italy at a young age. And they sort of started a little basement church in Italian in Detroit at the time where Italians were only Catholic. And we have a very large population of Italians around our area, most of them which are Catholic. So my dad's family sort of started the trajectory of not being Catholic. And they kind of grew up in the Pentecostal Assembly of God churches. And the same thing with my mom's mom. She left the Catholic Church and started attending the same Assembly of God church. So my parents actually met in church. And if you ever come to our area and you meet all these, you know, charismatic Italians, you know, they're probably somehow related to me.
I love it. I love it.
So I grew up in the church from a very young age. But I would say that it has been the last 10 years, and which I'm sure we'll discuss, you know, in detail, our testimony, where the Lord really has just become the center of my whole world, just shaping everything. I always knew of the Lord. I always had him in my heart. I always longed for a deeper relationship with him, but I kind of got caught up in life and didn't quite know how to get there. But these last 10 years has just been like full speed ahead for Jesus and the Lord's purpose, because once he touches your life and in the way that I'm going to describe to you later, I mean, there's no going back once you receive that touch from him.
Well, you have written a new book based yes. on yours and your husband's testimony
yes.
about his battle with addiction.
Yes.
And how the Lord really saved your marriage.
Yes.
So tell us that story. Tell us about his addiction, what you all went through,
yes.
and how the Lord intervened in your marriage.
Yes, well, it's about a 300-page book, so I'll try to give you some of the highlights. But as I explained earlier to you, you know, he just came to my door one day. And even at the time, I just felt like it was the Lord having him come to my door. For our first date, we went to church. Now, he was not as far along in his walk of faith. He knew of the Lord. He was kind of had a Catholic upbringing. But I wouldn't say that he knew the Lord personally. But what attracted me to him was that he just had this childlike faith to want to know the Lord more. And as we began that 10-month relationship before we got married, you know, we inserted the Lord into every aspect of what we were trying to build our relationship on. You know, we always went to church, we prayed. I just felt, okay, well, I know I've been in church my whole life. He hasn't, but I was actually attracted to his faith because, you know, when you have that innocent sort of faith that just takes the Bible at its word, you know, you're not overthinking it. And I loved that about him. Like whatever he would hear, whatever we would talk about, whatever message the pastor would preach, it's just, he took it at face value and he believed it and clung on to it. Now, the only thing that I knew about my husband was that he had been in a terrible motorcycle accident in his early 20s. As a result, he had to have 5 surgeries to reattach his foot. They were going to amputate it. So over the course of a year, and he also broke his back, he was kind of laid up in a home hospital bed and having all these surgeries and rehabilitation. And during the course of that, it was in the early 90s. So it was kind of right at the height of the OxyContin crisis, where they just were throwing opiates at people. But at the time, it was somewhat warranted because, you know, you're just going back in for surgery after surgery, and you need all these pain pills to get through these surgeries. But when I met him, I didn't really know anything about addiction. All I knew was he had an accident. He was taking these pills. But the one thing that I did know was that he took this little pill called Suboxone when we first met. And he told me that it was something they kind of give you when you get off opiates. And it kind of helps your brain to think you don't need to take pain pills anymore. And it maybe helps a little bit with the pain because he still had a lot of hardware and he was a chef. So he still had a lot of pain at the end of the day. So fast forward to, we ended up getting married, but rather quickly things began to go south. So if you know anything about the world of addiction, which I did not, you know, little things, big things, no things at all can trigger it to surface again. Now, you know, when we got married, we had a wedding to plan. We had mortgages to get, you know, we had to condense condos and move into a new home. My husband had never had a serious relationship before. So not only was he newly married, but now he had the role of stepfather. So he had all these things that he had to start to balance. And he was a 35-year-old single man with nobody to worry about, you know, except for himself prior to this. And what happened was the addiction resurfaced. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I didn't even know it was an addiction until I started discovering all these layers of it. So it went on for, you know, every couple months or weeks, I would just find some new thing. Why is he not coming home at night? You know, where is he at until midnight? Or he would come home and sleep for 2 days and just be miserable. Until it finally all came to a head that he was an active user of every kind of drug basically known to man. Not only was he drinking and taking his Suboxone, but he was taking pills. And then the pills turned into heroin, the heroin crack, cocaine, all these, every single thing that the enemy could use to lure him further into this pit, this vortex of addiction, it was there. But the entire time, you know, I knew he was still there and we kept going to church. You know, sometimes he wouldn't want to go. He was just miserable, but he seemed to be still chasing after the Lord. Like he knew he wasn't quite the man that he wanted to be, but he, you know, he wasn't sure how to get out of this pit. And during the course of this, I mean, he got baptized, he professed Jesus as his savior, but every step he took to get to know the Lord you know, more closely, it just seemed like the devil just kept pulling him back and just telling him, that's kind of the symbolism of our book, Silence the Lion. The lion is addiction, or Satan working through addiction to pull my husband into this vortex and whisper all these lies in your ear. You know, you're never going to get clean. Look at what you're doing to your family, until eventually it ended up with you're better off dead. So he tried to keep this lifestyle up for about 2.5 years. And towards the end, I mean, we tried everything that the world offered. I mean, it came to the surface that he had not been truthful to me about anything. So basically he had lived an active addiction for 20 years. And when we first met, I think maybe he thought or hoped that the addiction was gone, but that's really not how, you know, the devil worked. He knew he was going to try to come between us and the beautiful plans that we had for ourselves. So, you know, it just continued on this path until it basically became a battle of life or death. So we tried sending him to like rehabs, and I found out that he had gone to rehabs multiple times. He had been in jail. He had been having all these felonies. And then by this time, I have the whole world telling me, okay, you better leave this guy. You're going to get sucked into the pit with him. You know, he's a liability. And I even had my own father, it got to be so bad that my own father said, if you go back to him, you know, I'm going to disown you. You got to get rid of this guy. So I had everybody telling me to just leave him, but I don't know what it was. There really wasn't a lot to love about him during that season, but I just feel like the Lord just planted something inside of me just to stand in faith, to see him healed. Because if you would see the two men, like the man that I thought I was marrying compared to this man that was being swallowed up by this pit of addiction, you cannot even reconcile them. Okay. The man that I thought I was marrying was just this sweet, happy man with a childlike faith. And this other version, that's how I describe it in the book, is I didn't even know who I was. It seemed like he was Satan personified. I mean, it was just such a battle of spiritual warfare for his soul. And just to see him like that, you know, I felt sorry for him, but I just felt like the Lord kept asking me to stand on my faith. And all throughout this time, I mean, I dug deep into my faith, and I just believed, not from the very beginning, because at the beginning I thought, well, you know, I'm going to have to divorce him, or we're going to have to go through all these rehabs. Nothing is going to help. But as we started running out of options, you know, I always like to say that the Lord is the center of my life and he's always my first resort. But when this is how I really think that faith is birthed, is when he becomes your only resort. So towards the end, before we saw this deliverance, 2.5 years in, literally the Lord was our only resort. Either I stood on my faith and believed that what the Lord said we could claim was his healing and his promises to us, or my husband is going to die. And as a result, my life is just going to be in shambles. His family's life is going to be in shambles. So it got to a point where one day he basically overdosed and died. They had to resuscitate him several times. And it began this period of 16 days in the hospital for life support after he just listened to the enemy's lies over and over. You're better off dead. You're better off dead. And it turns out that he had tried to end his own life. So I was begging the Lord, please deliver him, save his life. And he's just telling, you know, the Lord, I can't live like this anymore. I don't want to hurt my family. So he goes to the hospital. His body is basically just hanging on by a thread. He has a 5% chance to live. He's had heart attacks. They are able to revive him, but he's on life support. And, you know, he ends up losing his kidney function. He has multi-organ failure. He has sepsis. He broke 2 vertebrae in his back. Basically, every sentence, prognosis, diagnosis you could think of, that was what was coming against his body at the time. But still, I just went to the Lord every day on my way to the hospital. I would just declare, Lord, Satan can't have my husband. You know, get your hands off my husband. And I believe in miraculous healing in your name, just declaring it, putting on praise and worship music. I wrote out Psalm 91 over his bed. And about 14 days into his hospital stay, he finally woke up from the coma, and his first words were, "Why didn't you just let me die?" Mm. So then he kind of just had this hard heart of the Pharaoh. I describe it in the book that no matter what they delivered, what kind of plagues or prognoses they gave him, he was just angry and bitter, just mad at the world. He just hated his life. He told me, I can't live. I can't die. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. And it all came down to one night, where, you know, I'm praying, "Lord, I don't know how much longer we can do this. He's miserable. Why am I even pursuing this? He doesn't even want to be here, let alone be married to me." And he called me one morning, and I heard something in his voice. And as soon as I heard him say good morning to me, I could hear it in his voice. And it was like everything I had been praying for, all these walls of bitterness and anger and guilt and shame, it's like the Lord just stripped them all away. And, you know, I could just hear it in his voice. And he describes it that he just felt like a release, that he just felt this overwhelming sense of love and the presence of the Lord just touch him and fill his hospital room. And since that day, he still had a lot of medical diagnoses over the course of the next several years to go through as a result of all the damage he had done to his body. But the Lord literally circumcised his heart. Just like to say, the Lord will circumcise your heart to love your Lord, the Lord your God, with all your heart and all your soul, that you might live. And that's exactly what happened. Wow. All the things that I had been praying for, just the Lord cut them away and gave him a new heart, took away the addiction, and now here we are going on 10 years of marriage. You can't make it up. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Wow. You know, as you're telling your story, Noelle, I thought about the four friends who lowered their crippled friend into the presence of Jesus.
Yes.
And how your prayers, your faith, you stood in faith for your husband and believed that he could be set free. Well, what a dynamic story we're listening to today with Noelle Borgia. Her faith reminds me that standing in the gap for someone else is never in vain. It is never time wasted, but it reaps incredible results in the unshakable kingdom of God. Now, we're going to get back to my conversation with Noelle in just a moment. But if you're standing in faith for someone and you just need a daily dose of encouragement, I'd like to tell you about my newest book, Today is a Verb. It's a 30-day journey designed to help you live out your faith in a winsome, enthusiastic, and meaningful way. It's practical. Every day is a verb for you to incorporate into your walk in Jesus Christ. Read, walk, forget, remember, forgive, celebrate, sing. Those are some of the verbs in my book, Today is a Verb. And let me tell you, this book, Today is a Verb, is going to add a spring in your step and a sparkle in your eye as you walk through the challenges of life. You can order Today is a Verb on Amazon.com, on my website, Carol McLeod Ministries, or really wherever books are sold. Now, let's get back to my hope-filled conversation with Noelle Borgia. Let me ask you this, Noelle. I know you're not like an expert on addictions, but you certainly are experientially. Are all addictions alike? So the addiction that your husband had to over-the-counter meds, is that the same as an alcoholic, as a sex addict, as a gambling addict? Is there something that ties them together, or are they different?
I think they all stem from the same lies of the enemy, because, you know, we know, as I describe it in the book, is the lion. We know it's just Satan working in people's lives, the author of confusion and chaos. And he throws all these substances and lies at you to get to shake you from your identity. And that's what happened with my husband. When he really could truly tap into who he was and who he wasn't, like once he could say, "I'm not an addict, I'm a child of God," you know, the Lord started rewriting that identity for him. And even the cover of our book, I have a picture of a mirror on it with the lion staring back at you, because that's how addiction and Satan work to strip your identity from you. They'll keep luring you in with, you know, pornography addiction or alcohol, or with my husband, it started with pain pills and it eventually ended up with a heroin addiction. Mm. You know, it's just, it strips everything away that you held true about yourself. But that's what we know about the Word of God and what He says about you. And He says, yes, about your identity is He can shatter that image. You know, you don't have to listen to the lies of the enemy anymore when you know that you are a child of God. So I do think they all start the same way, you know, maybe not the same way, but trauma, accidents, you know, searching for a purpose, looking to belong to something, or even in this generation with, I have two teenagers, you know, all these poor kids at school are just struggling so much with social media and bullying, and the Satan telling them, you're not enough. You're never going to, yes, be good enough. You're not, mm-hmm, popular enough. You're not pretty enough. You didn't use the right filter. And those kids today are at risk to be tomorrow's people that struggle with multiple forms of addiction. So that's what we're trying to just break that cycle, you know?
So, Noelle, again, you know, you're not a medical doctor or a, yes, psychiatrist. I want to make, yes, that clear to all of our listeners. You, yes, are a woman who's walked the journey with your husband, yes, and have stood in strong faith.
Yes.
So from your perspective, are addictions a choice or a disease or something else?
Well, you know, so my husband describes it, it really wasn't a choice. I would say it was more of a disease or a tactic used by the enemy, because he describes it, you know, once you get lured into that world, it's not a matter of feeling good or partying. It's about a matter of survival mode. And he would describe to me what it was like to live in active addiction. And he said, basically, it feels like you're drowning in a big ocean. And you're just trying to get that next substance just so you can get your nose above the water and get that next breath. So what, wow, when it initially starts, it might be, you know, you're just trying to feel good and maybe forget something about yourself, or maybe try to become somebody you're not, or just have a good time. Like I said, for my husband, it started as a result of a motorcycle accident, but it's never the end of it. And that initial whatever draws you to it is a choice, but you know, it may only take a few more times to do that whatever substance you're using to turn into something that you're unable to control, and then it no longer becomes a choice. Then it's just something, just a yoke around your neck, you know, just bondage.
So, Noelle, what word of encouragement would you give today to the wife who's standing in faith for her husband who has an addiction, sexual or otherwise? What would you say to the children of an addict? What would you say to the parents of an addict today? What word of encouragement could you give to people who love an addict?
Well, you know, I like to use the example of the parable of the lost sheep. And, you know, in the book of Luke, Jesus talks about, you know, which one of you that if you lost a sheep, you wouldn't go out into the open country and leave the 99 to find the one. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes back to his family and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. And that's kind of the role of the loved one of the addict. I feel like the Lord is always going to put people in their life that are going to be chasing after that lost sheep, just like Jesus is chasing after us. But all I would say is just to encourage you to stand firm on the Word of God, because that's really what happened with me. I knew of the Lord. I felt like I had the Lord in my heart, but it wasn't until I tested Him at His Word and really believed that He was watching over His Word to perform it for me, that I just, you know, that's how my faith was birthed. It's just, I had no other option but to take the Lord at His Word. So that's what I would say. If you're struggling with addiction, your loved one struggling with addiction, just take the Lord at its word. And sometimes it feels like it's so hard in your own strength to do it. But I like to also talk about the parable of the story of the man that laid at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. He was an invalid and he would just lay there on his mat and there was nobody to lift him into the pool. And he would make all these excuses. Oh, there's nobody to carry me in. When the water stirred up, I can't get in. But ultimately, Jesus just came by and just took him by the hand and just said, get up, man. You know, yeah. And I feel like that's the same posture that you need. We're, you know, if we're stuck in addiction or we're a loved one stuck in addiction, you think that you have to have all the answers and you have to figure everything out. But ultimately, what I learned after trying to figure everything out about a world I knew nothing about was just all I had to do was just trust Jesus when he said, take, you know, I'm going to take you by the hand. I'm going to lead the way. Just follow me. Take me at my word.
Amen. Amen. So good. Well, Noelle, I can't believe our time is almost gone here. But as you know, the name of my podcast is the Significant Women Podcast.
Yes.
So can you tell us who have been some of the significant women in Noelle's life?
Well, like I described, I really, my grandmothers really modeled the faith for me. My one Polish grandmother, you know, I remember I would always go to her house and she was kind of a stern, hard woman, but every time I went there, she had her glasses and her Bible on the kitchen table. And she had like John Hagee on there, just preachers and Christian music. And you know what I loved about her was she wasn't really a woman of the world. And that's how I kind of feel like I really don't care about anything in this world. I love Jesus. I love pursuing his word. When it comes to brand names or fancy cars or beauty, I could care less about it. And she was kind of that same way. And then on the other side of the table was my mom's mom, my grandma Katie. And she was just a very simple woman with a fourth grade education from an Italian family that came from Sicily. And she just had the joy of Jesus. And at any given day, at any given hour, she had people sitting around her table, eating donuts, drinking coffee, and sharing the word with them. And it could be anybody from all walks of life. Like her door was always open. So Amen. Those two were my most influential because, you know, you have such the different viewpoints of what faith could look like. And I feel like I got to take the best of both of them. And then of course, there's so many biblical characters that I could get into, but probably one of my favorite women in the Bible is just the one that's unnamed, was the sinful woman that sat at the feet of Jesus and washed his feet with her hair in the alabaster jar of perfume. And, you know, because she knew she was sinful, but she knew there was no better place to be than at the feet of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. I love it. Well, do you have a favorite Bible verse right now in your life, Noelle? Just a verse from scripture that just has deep meaning in your heart that you could share with us before you go today.
Well, I love Revelation 12, 10, and 11, where it says we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, because I feel like we would not be standing here if it weren't for the blood of the Lamb that washed over us, that we could defeat this evil force that came against us. And then I also love Isaiah 43, you know, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in a wilderness and streams in a wasteland. And that's what I feel like. Wherever you feel like you are in your life, whatever wasteland that you're in, the Lord, it's never the end. The Lord can always do a new thing.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, before we go, Noelle, so would you pray for my listeners?
Yes.
Would you especially pray for those people who love someone who's struggling with addiction?
Yes. Oh,
thank
Lord,
you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this beautiful time of fellowship today that we have. I pray as we close today that this message that you want listeners to take away just reaches their hearts through the Holy Spirit. We pray for bold faith today, opened eyes and ears wide open to hear, and hearts that are just like ground ready to be planted with your word. Because we know that no matter if you're struggling with addiction, if you have a loved one that's in addiction, it only takes one encounter with you, our loving, living God, to change everything. We just pray that you reveal yourself to our listeners in a mighty way. You remove any doubt from their hearts so they can believe that nothing is impossible for you. Not addiction that they're stuck in, not addiction that their loved ones are stuck in, not broken marriages or any disease or relationships that have gone astray, not depression, not anxiety. We know that everything must bow before you, Lord. And we pray that you just will make a way in the wilderness today, and that you just cause hope to spring up in any wasteland that anybody thinks they're going through, Lord. Just do a new thing today in the mighty name of Jesus, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, the name of Noelle Borges' new book is Silence the Lion, and it's her story of standing in faith for her husband who had serious addiction issues. So, Noelle, where can my listeners get a copy of your book?
Oh, thank you for sharing. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian Book, wherever books are sold. And then we're also in the process of launching a ministry, shatteredmirrorministries.com. So if you go there, it has more information. It also has links to where you could purchase the book.
Oh, well, thank you, Noelle. You are a delight.
Thank you
for standing in strong faith. You've increased my faith today.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
You truly are a significant woman, so thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Well, I'm amazed by Noelle's story, are you? I have been reminded today that even when we're walking through the painful seasons in life with people we love, we don't need to be afraid, worry, or embrace anxiety. We can stand in strong faith. Listen, our faith is for the hardest days of a human's life. So if you're going through a time of deep discouragement because of someone you love, don't give up. Don't give in, but give all to prayer, to loving unconditionally, and to standing on the promises of God. You can rest knowing that God is working behind the scenes in your loved one's life. So if you're in that place today, standing in the gap for someone who's struggling with sexual identity, with addiction, with financial issues, with destiny issues, take heart. God sees you. He hears every prayer you've prayed, and He is working behind the scenes. So before we go, I want to share with you a scripture that I know will comfort and bring hope to your soul. It's Romans 15:13, and it's a scripture that I go to time after time after time when my circumstances are exploding around me. This is what it says, Romans 15:13. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse is amazing because the God of hope is able to fill us human beings with joy and peace when we believe. So we have to believe that God is who He says He is. We have to believe that God can do what He said He could do. We have to believe that the Word of God is eternal truth. And then what happens next after we receive that joy and peace? Well, we're going to abound in hope. We're going to have more than enough hope to get through every desert season in life. The Holy Spirit is with you. Hang on to that truth this week. So if this episode of the Significant Women Podcast with Carol McLeod encouraged you, would you consider leaving a rating or review? It helps others to find this podcast when you say, hey, I love the Significant Women Podcast with Carol McLeod. You can leave the rating or review on whatever platform that you listen to the podcast on. And of course, you could share it just through an email on social media. You can share this podcast with others. And of course, you can always find more encouragement, more hope, more Bible teaching, more resources at carolmcleodministries.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week on the Significant Women Podcast with Carol McLeod.